Welcome back. It's Bailey and Noakes here in the McAdoo studio. Coming up at 5:35, Justin Fuente, head football coach at Virginia Tech, will swing by to recap National Signing Day 2016 and, of course, our Signing Day coverage powered by TechSideline.com. And we've got Chris Coleman of TSL hanging out with us for all of Hour 1. Send in your questions, kyle.bailey@cumulus.com, danny.noakes@cumulus.com. You can find us on Twitter, at TheClubhouseKB, at Danny Noakes. You can also tweet Chris, at Chris Coleman, TSL. Got an email and a tweet to queue up for you here, Chris.
All right,
Jeff writes in, he says, "This class isn't what disappoints me. It was expected, at least by those who know recruiting. Had slipped under Beamer. It's the Tech fans who are stuck on comparing Fuente and this new staff to the old staff that disappointed me. Let's see, Fuente had 2 months to try and salvage this class, and for the most part he did it. Did he miss out on a few? Yes, but again, he was working on short time when other schools had been on kids for probably a year at least. All I ask is that Tech fans chill and give the man a chance to get his feet wet." That's from Jeff. Jeff, really appreciate it, and your reaction?
I would pretty much concur with that. I've been writing an article since probably the beginning of the season, maybe even late summer. You know, 247 has a great tool where you can go in there and plug in guys to see what your recruiting ranking would be if they commit to your school and everything like that. And, you know, I plugged in a bunch of guys, and it would have taken a lot to get Virginia Tech into the top 25 this year in recruiting. And I said back then it looked like we were going to finish around 40th in recruiting, and that's about where we are. So, I don't think anything has happened that was unexpected, in my opinion.
I think it's fair to say.
I was going to say, it's just nice to see someone that kind of sees it from a more realistic point of view, you know, just to not expect Fuente to come in and, you know, set the world on fire in a new recruiting trail.
You got to judge him on his 2017 and 2018 classes, the ones that he has a year or two to build relationships with and everything like that, and actually show those guys a product on the field.
Right.
To a certain extent. Even with a lot of 2017 recruits, they'll still make their commitments before they even see him coach a football game at Virginia Tech. But that 2018 class will actually have a whole season of data to collect, so to speak.
All right, we got a question here from Casey, and I feel like we've been taking this question for 3 years now. Casey's question on Twitter is, "What does Virginia Tech have to do differently recruiting to win over four-star recruits in the Mid-Atlantic and beyond?" You've been taking that question for 3 years?
Yeah, at least. Well, I think they're in a better position now because their head coaching situation is more stabilized. And when you've got, and now it comes down to building relationships and trust and everything like that. I think that was really hard with the situation we were in under Beamer. I don't even think we were able to get a foot in the door with some of those guys in a lot of those situations. I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, Keith Sims wasn't even considering Tech in October, from what I can tell from reading our articles earlier today. He liked Tech last summer. We've got a great picture of him on his visit last year in Virginia Tech gloves and everything like that. But for whatever reason, they dropped off, and he wasn't really considering Tech, and then was really considering him after Fuente got here. So just a stabilized head coaching situation is going to help things. Now, they also need to play football games that aren't boring as heck. I mean, this is part of it. I'm dead serious.
I know.
I mean, I think I said this on this show last year. You're Josh Sweat, and you're down to Virginia Tech and Florida State, and you're watching the Virginia Tech Wake Forest game, and it's 0-0 at the end of the
regulation.
Yeah, gosh.
Or the Pitt Thursday night game,
or any of those games, basically almost. And then you turn on a Florida State game, and you know even a middling Florida State game is going to have some excitement to it.
Yeah, well, points. They'll have points.
Yes.
Well, it's just the classic adage that winning solves everything. I mean, when if you know, the Hokies step out on the field and win between 8 and 12 games next year, that's going to solve a lot of problems because guys are going to want to come play for a winning program.
Yeah, I'll amend that a little bit and customize it to fit Virginia Tech. Winning cures everything, but scoring's a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I agree with that 100%. And our product has been so boring, even to our fans. Our fans will say we're boring to watch, or we have been. But I think we've been boring to watch. I've been going to games since I was a little kid.
That's
I love Virginia Tech
fact
football.
Been boring to
but
watch.
They've been boring to watch. And I can imagine how a, you know, 16, 17-year-old recruit who doesn't have a dog in the fight would feel about watching a Virginia Tech game. I mean, there's no flash to them. It just became a really, really stale product, and you don't get it unstale overnight, in my opinion.
Well, from the top down, though, they've been trying to fix that problem. I mean, with just the hiring of Justin Fuente, bringing in an offensive guy, that certainly helps. But then you're going to have, and Justin Fuentes talked about this, five quarterbacks in that are going to be competing for that position, and then you bring in, you know, three receivers, all which they really need a lot of help with. They're doing their best they can to try and put points up on the board.
Well, and something else you said there too is I think worth. I think elaborating on when someone said flash, we're not talking about style over substance, okay?
Of course.
Substance still matters.
Yeah.
But you need a little bit of style.
Just
a touch of style.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't want every game to be like that Tulsa game.
No.
And I certainly don't want to start losing games like that.
Right.
But, you know, some of these games were just unbearable to watch. You know, every time we play Pitt, you just want to roll over and go to sleep.
At least at Hines.
Yeah. Well, even here,
even here, actually,
you're right, it was awful too.
You don't even look forward to it.
No, you don't. It's just like, oh my gosh, it's Pitt's defense versus Virginia Tech's defense. I mean, it's just two good defenses and two bad offenses, and ugh.
So, all right, so let's move on from all the horrible memories of bad offense. What about who is the gem of this class? You looked at these guys a lot. Let's take the quarterback out of it. Let's mm-hmm. you know there's the number one JUCO quarterback in the country. Lots of folks are excited about him. Outside of that, who is the gem of this class?
You know, I'm part of me is tempted to say Ladler, but you never know what you're getting in a recruit who has a torn ACL.
Right,
could work out really well, like in the case of Kenny
Canem. Kenny Canem, yeah.
Could work out really poorly, like in the case of George Bell back in the early to mid 2000s. I got to go with. I really like Divine Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
He might have a little bit of filling out to do. Kuma might be a little bit more advanced than him right now. A little bit more of a smoother route runner, and his frame might be a little more filled out. But I really like Diablo's long term potential. And with a name like that, how could you not?
What did Bud Foster say earlier today? I think he said that Aaron Carter is the sleeper of this entire class.
That's an interesting observation. I've watched his film, and he's a big kid. I mean, he looks like he's been in the strength and conditioning program for a couple of years already. He's got, as Charlie Wilbs would put it, he has a heavy shoulder. When he hits people, they go backwards. He's a big hitter, good tackler. What I can't get a feel on from watching his tape is how athletic he is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's a sideline to sideline. He's going to play Mike for Virginia Tech. I think he's got to increase his athleticism. I do believe that. And I think that's what held him back from getting more offers. But I could see why they like him. He certainly looks the part.
There's two guys that I want to ask you about, Chris. The first is Phil Patterson. I've zeroed in on he, and the other guy I want to talk about is Tavante Beckett.
Okay.
Patterson, though, watching his film, it doesn't seem like his high school Bayside looks like they just love to stretch the field. They love to go vertical. He runs a lot of posts, a lot of corners, you know, just go routes, wheels. They put him, so you don't really get a good look at his route running, and that's something that as you get older kind of develops anyway. But you can see his speed. I mean, he seems like a pretty well sized guy.
Yeah.
Someone that could come in right away and kind of contribute.
Yeah, I think so. No, the issue is he will be behind those other three freshman receivers who will be here for the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil won't get here until the
right.
summer, so he won't have those extra practices. But, you know, I've seen this guy in person at a Tech camp, and, you know, he looks big enough and strong enough to contribute right away. And I like his overall ability. You're right, there is a lot of downfield passing in his highlight tape, mm-hmm. highlight tape and everything like that. So it is kind of tough to get a read on what he's good at and what he's not good at this point.
Got an email here from Ed, who's listening. I'm not quite sure where. He says, I agree with Chris regarding recruiting and where we finished this year. Players that were not considering Virginia Tech at all a couple of months ago had us in their final two on signing day. To me, that's impressive and a good sign. I think people need to realize that these recruits have been watching a very average VT team for the entire time they were in high school. There's not been much to be excited about. I'm excited about the future and hope we can start bringing in some highly rated guys. I saw that Virginia Tech is having a coaching clinic for high school coaches in Chesapeake, Virginia later this month. This is what is needed to develop relationships, and hopefully it pays off.
That's a fantastic point. I had not heard about that coaching clinic, but I remember when I sat down with Fuente, I guess it was early January, and you know, we talked about building relationships in the state, and he said he considers it the responsibility of the program to help out high school programs with X's and O's and ideas and things like that. And in the past, you've seen coaching clinics at Virginia Tech where high school coaches come to Virginia Tech from around the state. I don't think we've ever seen Virginia Tech actually go out and do coaching clinics in certain regions of the state. But if that's what Ed was his name?
Yeah, that's what Ed's talking. And I saw Zon Burden actually tweet about this earlier today.
I didn't know that. Well, I think that's a great sign. And starting it off in the 757, you know, I think it's a very good idea.
Yeah, even more exciting, I think. Let me take a look at this thing. They're having it in Chesapeake. It's free admission, which is pretty cool, I think.
That's pretty awesome.
And they're having snacks.
Oh, wow.
Can't be snacks.
So, I mean, I was at one point a Powder Puff coach. I feel like I should go.
I was too. I'm 1-0 in my career.
Me too, dude. Yeah. My team was stacked.
Shut out.
Stacked.
You know what I did?
What?
I gave my fastest girl the ball.
Hey, me too.
Really smart of me.
So you gave your Trayvon McMillan the ball all the time? That's okay. That makes sense to me. We got Chris Coleman at TechSideline.com here in the McAdoo studio with us. It's Bailey and Noakes. If you're listening online, we appreciate it. Fighting Gobbler writes in, says, how are we positioned with the top in-state kids for 2017? Looks like the state is loaded again.
I think next year is, I haven't studied the class in depth next year, but I think the top 10 is better next year. I think we're in the top five for Eric Crosby. We're in the top two for Laybourne, the running back, who's arguably the number one recruit in the state, depending on who you ask. I'm not going to say we're well positioned with any of those guys, except for maybe Laybourne. But we got to beat out Florida State for them. So are you ever well positioned when your number one competition is Florida State?
I guess it depends on your definition of well positioned.
Depends on your we're in the top five for Crosby, but like so is Alabama and Florida State and a couple others. So are you really well positioned?
Well, that's the thing. Like on paper, it's you're going up against some juggernauts, but at the same time, do you have playing time to sell?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we certainly will at running back, in my opinion. Not a single running back in this class. So that's going to be a major focus. And I think Tech has already offered about five or six highly touted running backs from various parts of the East Coast. So I'm happy about that. But back to his original question. It seems to be a defensive line heavy class in the state of Virginia next year. Virginia Tech has not fared so well there the last couple years when it comes to in-state defensive linemen. I think they're a little better positioned this year. It's kind of hard to tell at this point, to be honest with you, because it's a whole new coaching staff. And you hear, oh, we were well positioned for Josh Sweat. We were well positioned for Cleland Farrell. We were well positioned for Derek Nottie. We've been well positioned for a lot of guys the last couple years. Just haven't been able to close on them. So I think Virginia Tech will continue to be in it with a lot of these guys. They've just got to do a better job of recruiting them. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, that's kind of what it boils down to. Yeah, I don't know.
Quickly, but before we go to Baker, I want to talk to you about Tavante Beckett, because this is a guy I've been raving about him a little bit on Twitter today. To me, on film, he looks incredibly strong, incredibly explosive. I mean, he is tossing guys around. He's a big hitter. He's aggressive. I like him a lot. I think he's going to make a big impact. He's 6 feet, 215 pounds, so his size isn't incredible. But, you get into a Division I strength and conditioning program, I think that's going to benefit him. Playing under Bud Foster benefits him. But I'm not sure where he kind of fits in the defense.
You don't have to be huge to play that position.
No, I agree.
Vince Hall was a good example.
Yeah. It's not like you have to be 6'4" step in there in Mike Lyman and play. The thing is, some of his film, he's built like a Mike, but like a senior film, he's playing so much outside linebacker and he's in coverage so much that it looks he's playing more like a backer spot. But I do think he projects as more of a Mike at Tech, but so does Aaron Carter. How does that sort itself out? I'm not sure Virginia Tech has a backer in this class. Right now, I think they'd play Emmanuel Belmar there, but if he's 235 right now and hadn't seen a strength and conditioning program yet, and Foster was talking today about how big his frame was and everything like that, and he could play a couple different positions, and I think one of those couple different positions might end up being defensive end, if he has the frame that Foster seems to like. Right. So, one of those guys, I might be tempted to try Beckett at backer, even though he doesn't look like he has the natural build of a backer, but we do need some backer depth right now, that's for sure.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back. I want to talk a bit more about the football stuff, obviously, with it being National Signing Day, powered by TechSideline.com, but also some basketball, as the Hokies did drop a bit of a heartbreaker last night up in upstate New York, and Chris walked in still a bit melancholy because of that. So we'll talk a little bit of hoops to change up the pace, but we'll keep taking your phone calls, your tweets, your emails here on National Signing Day. We got Justin Fuente at 5:35 for you who's out there. We got Brad Franklin at 5:05. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.